thank y'all for being here this morning. Thank this praise team for doing a great job every Sunday. All of our tech people doing a great job. And we appreciate them and love them so much. And it's always the best. Oh, never fails. Leads right into the very sanctuary of God in His presence. I want to make a couple of announcements before we get into the Word. Pastor Carl and Brenda are out of town this weekend. He had a wedding late yesterday afternoon in Charleston. It was Pam and Scott Evans' son, Zach. Remember Zach, our star football player? He got married, I think, to Grace. So we congratulate Scott and Pam on their family growing, and we congratulate Zach and Grace on their new life together. So God bless you. When you watch this video, you'll see it. February the 27th, we welcome Mylon and Christy Lefebvre to Abundant Life Church. They always bring a word of faith, and so be here that day to have your faith increased. Offering. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. God never ceases to amaze us at Abundant Life. He is a wonderful God, and you're wonderful people for your giving and just being obedient to the Word. I would encourage you to remember this week to pray for one another. You may not know everybody's name. Smile at everybody, Reg. Our little camera's going crazy. It's just spinning round and round, doing all kinds of stuff this morning. So you may just want to listen at home instead of watching, especially if it's spinning me upside down. But remember to pray for each other, you know, this week. You may not know everybody's name, but look around the room, and God is going to bring people to your memory. And you remember that face, and you pray for those people. Pray for Pastor Carl and all the leaders in the church, because we pray for you every day. And you know what? Prayer keeps us connected when we're away from one another. It keeps our hearts connected and our vision connected, so it's very important. And the last thing I'll mention is Super Bowl is tonight. Number 56. I know a lot of you are watching it. Rams and Bengals. I'll be driving. I'll miss it. Y'all can call me on my phone. Catch me up to what's happening. So, I'm going to be bringing the Word this morning. And the title of the message is, Do You Love Me? Do You Want to Be My Friend? Check yes or no. You know, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I love it. I love Valentine's Day. I loved it when I was a kid. I did. But I found something that was very interesting. It came out of Rutgers University. Do you know that an anthropologist, she done some study on people who said they were in love. And she done scans of their brain, took some blood, checked some chemicals out in their body. And she came up, this whole group of people, I guess, came up with a way of telling if you are in love, if you are in lust, there is a difference. Or if you're in a committed relationship with someone, because there's a difference in all three. There were 13 things that came up to say, to let you know. I'm not going to read all 13 of them, because it was a book. But I do want to hit about six of them, and I'll go really fast. When you fall in love, you think your beloved is unique. She's the one. She's the one. Or he's the one. You tend to focus only on the positive qualities of the beloved's life. They can do no wrong. You focus on trivial events and objects that remind them of their beloved. A smell, a card, or maybe it's just a picture in your wallet. But every time you see it, it just draws your heart. But then you bounce backward and forth between emotional and physiological instability. You may be exhilarated 1 minute and have euphoria the next. You have increased energy, then sleeplessness, loss of appetite, trembling, heart racing, and hyperventilation, as well as anxiety, panic, feeling of despair when your relationship suffers just the smallest setback. You may just want to hold that, brother. You get the feeling of just being exclusive. And then your empathy towards that person begins to grow. You know, number four, the emotional and physiological instability, that's about the same thing a drug addict goes through, truthfully. But we were designed by God to experience the magic of love. Me and you, all of us. There's a story that I heard in 1995, and you heard it too. And when I start telling you, you're going to remember it. It started way back in third grade. Way back in third grade. And I used to sit beside this girl named Emmy Lou Hayes. She wore a pink dress, a matching bow in her ponytail. And she would kiss me on the school bus and tell me not to tell. So the next day, I chased her around the playground, across the monkey bars and the merry-go-round. And Emmy Lou got caught passing me a note. But before the teacher took it, I read what she wrote. And it said, "Do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well then, don't be afraid to take me by the hand. If you want to, I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no." Now we're grown up and she's my wife. Still like two kids with stars in our eyes. Ain't much changed. I still chase Emmy Lou up and down the hall and all around the bedroom. Last night, I took her out in a white limousine. 20 years together, she still gets to me. Can't believe it's been that long ago when we got started with just a little note. And then it goes, "Do you love me? And do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well, then don't be afraid to take me by the hand. If you want to, I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no." George Strait sang that song in 1995. It came out as number 63 on the country chart and quickly climbed to number one. Now, I didn't know Emmy Lou, and I wasn't in third grade. I was in the seventh grade, walking down the hall of West Florence High School, and I saw this little blonde-haired girl with big blue eyes and braces holding Troy Umphrey's hand, and I passed her a little note. "Do you love me? Because I sure love you. Do you want to be my friend? Because I want to be your friend. Well, if you do, don't you be afraid when I take you by the hand. Because I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no." That was 40 years ago. Golly bum. That was 40 years ago, three kids ago, now six kids, five grandkids, and another one on the way. I love you, Lori. Such a true story. You know what? Loving someone is fun. And being loved by someone is fun. Love creates a strong friendship. Love has courage. Love takes a chance. Love ages and matures. Love grows. Love never gets old. And love remembers the good. Because I can tell you, I created a lot of bad. I did. I'm not going to lie about it. I told somebody this morning, for the first five years of our marriage, I raised pure hell. R-A-I-S-E-D. And Lori raised hell, R-A-Z-E-D. There's a big difference. I was out blowing it up, and she was on her knees praying for me. And thank you for that, too. I never would be here today without Lori praying for me. Never. Not in a million years. Would not have happened. Was not in my plan or my goals. You know? Your spouse, for those of you who are married, will play a major part in the trajectory of your life. It is important for those of you who are not married to make sure you pick the right one. It is important to have God involved in that decision more than your emotions, more than the dopamine in your brain, more than the little goosebumps, because scientifically proven, it lasts about 3 years, and then, buddy, it's down to the nitty-gritty. And it's down to where the rubber meets the road. And most of the time, my head was between that rubber and the road. It was tough, but we fought through and persevered. And God helped us. You know, we need to receive God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ. Whenever I was a little boy in grade school, and many of you as well, we would make a Valentine box, and we would decorate our little boxes and put them on the table by the wall or on the corner of our desk, and each of our classmates would bring a Valentine card, whether it be homemade or store-bought, and they would deposit it into our box. And I would do the same for them. And if there were 32 kids in the classroom, we each would have 32 Valentine cards. And if somebody really liked you, that person may give you 2 or 3 Valentine cards. Now, this is my grand boy's Valentine box. And he left it full of candy for his papa. He's got all kinds of treats in here. Just little tokens of affection, little tokens of love, little tokens of, you know, I'm thinking about you. Enjoy that candy, you know. Be mine. You know, I used to love to get those little hearts that had all those little sayings on it. And I'd read every one of them. Griffin, I can't get your box back together. There it goes. You know, our hearts are like the Valentine box that we made as kids. And God wishes and He desires and He longs for you to be His Valentine. And He wants you to receive His Valentine. It's the most wonderful Valentine in the history of all Valentines. It's His Word. And He wants to deposit it in our hearts. And it is the ultimate book of love. Do you know that you're extremely unique to God? He created you, and there is nobody else like you. And what He created, He cares for. And whenever Adam and Eve sin, and when we sin, we break His heart. We did. And this book is all about God doing what's necessary to create that love relationship with us again. He never stopped loving us, but we walked away. And He wants us to love Him all through the Bible. You know, when I used to read in Genesis, and Adam and Eve sinned, and God came down, and He said, did you take part of the tree that I told you not to do it? You can't live here anymore. I thought God was mean. You know, the voices we hear in society, sometimes we attach that to what God may sound like. But I think it was more like, Adam, Eve, where are you? We meet every day to talk. Where are you at? Why are you not here? Oh, did you take part of the tree that I told you not to? Listen, it broke God's heart to do what He had to do. But by doing that, it brought redemption to us so that we could get back to Him. You know, He put two angels to guard the tree of life. What mercy that was. Because why in the world would we want to live this way for eternity? When he says, I'm going to make a better way for you to get back to me, and I'll restore you. I'll restore you to the relationship that we lost. And so God wants us to receive his love through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We all know that, John 3:16. And John 1:4-11 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Psalms 136:26 says, give thanks to God of heaven. His love endures forever. God's love never runs out. Never. I'll share a story at the end and you'll see. Now, once we receive God's gift and believe and confess Jesus Christ, we should live love. I'm not talking about spreading it. I'm talking about you personally, you as an individual. You should live love with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can live love. It's difficult to receive all that God has for us, especially if we've never been loved. It's hard to receive a compliment when you're not used to getting a compliment. I complimented somebody the other day and they got mad at me. They literally got mad at me and I was complimenting them. Some people believe it is prideful to be blessed by God. They don't deserve it. And I know what I'm talking about. I grew up around people like this. If you had a little bit of money, you had to be living in sin. Because God meant for us to be poor. Old Griff called me up the other day. I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be Conversations with Grandpa. Because we have them. Boy, do we ever have them. Called me up and said, Papa, I don't want to be rich. And I said, well, your Papa wants you to be rich. He says, no, Papa, because I'll go straight to hell. I said, whoa, man, put the brakes on. No, no, no. He said, there was this fellow in the Bible, Papa, and he had all this stuff. And he was talking to Jesus. And Jesus told that man it was a whole lot easier for a camel to go through this little hole than it was for him to get in heaven with all that stuff. And I'm telling you, I don't want all that stuff. And I said, man, it's all about the priority that guy had on his stuff. He didn't want to give up his stuff. He loved it more than he loved Jesus. Jesus was not his number one. You got to be Jesus' number one. That's what you got to be in the right relationship. I heard it put this one time. If you ain't my number one, you ain't my nothing. You got to be number one. And Griffin says, well, Papa, I love my gun sometimes more than I love Jesus. I said, well, work on that. Work on that, man. Get that thing in priority. You know? But we can live love. We can learn to be blessed. God wants you blessed. God wants you to be prosperous. And God wants us to learn to trust him. I was talking to Tanya last night. This is Chelsea's mom, my daughter-in-law's mom. And I was talking about where I was raised up at, right? Because I've been told you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I've been told you're a silver-tongued fox, too. Neither one of them's good. And I thought, well, number one, they don't know where I was born at. You know, so I was telling her, I said, you know, I live down on 4th Street right below the beer joint. And she said, 4th Street? I said, yeah, you know 4th Street. She said, oh, I know. She said, because we weren't allowed to go to 4th Street to 1st Street. I said, well, that was my playing place right there. All right in there, that's where I played at. I would ride over to see my grandparents. And I didn't know it was a bad place. But I do know this. Me and my brother go pick up rotten apples on the ground and go sell them at the beer joint to those drunks. And they'd buy them a bag of apples with two good ones on the top, and the rest of them was rotten. We'd get our quarters, and we'd wait till the next week, and we'd go back again. You know, we didn't know. But God says, hey, man, I got a better place for you. Trust me. You know, trust me, Steve. I want you to trust me. It's hard to trust God sometimes, especially when he says, move, sell your house, don't do this. And you start making life decisions that don't just affect you, but it starts affecting your family, and it affects your parents and your grandparents. Extremely difficult. But I do know this, by following God, his blessings for being obedient are beyond anything I could have ever imagined as a kid. That is the truth. You know, what he wants to work in us and live love is in 1 Corinthians, and you've heard it. Love is patient. He wants to teach us patience. Do you know how long? I'm still not there, but I'm better. I'm better. This lady run up behind me yesterday in the car. Just run up behind me. I'm not going to tell you what I did. Love is kind. God wants to work kindness in our heart. Love is not envious. I don't want what you got. I don't envy it. I don't envy it at all. If you're driving that Lamborghini, just come pick me up and let me ride with you sometime. Love don't boast. So when you're in your Lamborghini, don't come by and brag about it. Because I'm not all the way mature yet. Love is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. Love is not selfish. Love does not get angry easily. Love doesn't hold a record of wrongdoings. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. It never gives up. God provides, gives unbelievable peace, and he gives us power over sin and victory over death. So look at it like this. If God is love, then God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious. He doesn't boast. He's not proud. He does not dishonor us. He's not selfish, because everything that's his, he will give it to you. He doesn't get angry with you easy. He doesn't keep a record of your wrongs. But he doesn't delight when you do evil. But he rejoices whenever you celebrate truth. God will always protect you. He will always trust you. And he will always hope for you. He will always persevere. And he will never, ever, ever, ever give up on you. Not going to happen. Because he's that kind of God. Now, once we have that working in our life, we should share love. But you can't share something you don't have. You can't share the love of God if you don't have the love of God. So once he works it inside of us, he wants us to share that love with grace and mercy. You know, our random acts of kindness become more frequent until we're living a life of kindness. I asked Griffin about this Valentine box here, and I said, hey, man, have you ever given a Valentine to someone you did not like? I have, Papa. Oh, I have. And I said, well, why did you do that if you didn't like them? He said, because it was a nice thing to do, and I wanted to be kind. Now, that has to come from God. We begin to forgive others, and that act alone begins to erase bitterness and hurt and pain that others have caused us. And we share God's love by praying for our friends, our strangers, and the hardest one of all, our enemies. Somebody that has wronged me, somebody that I do not like, somebody that I do not see eye to eye with, somebody that talks about me behind my back, somebody that hurts me, and God says, you pray for them. There was a song wrote by a fellow named Jan Lowenstein. He sang this song, and he went to church for the first time in a long time. Hadn't been to church in a long time, but he'd been going through some stuff, and his life was a mess, so he says, I'm going to go down there and listen to the preacher. Well, the preacher says, listen, man, you can't keep on hating people who've done you wrong. You got to quit being angry and don't condemn them. You need to let the Lord do his job, and you just need to pray. That's what the preacher said. So the guy went out, and he says, I'm going to pray. He said, I pray you your brakes go out running down the hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you on the head like I'd like to. I pray all your dreams don't come true. And it goes on and on and on about what this guy's praying. And then he says, honey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. That guy missed the point. He missed the point. Bad. He should have been praying the song that Ricky Skaggs sang, Somebody's Praying. And it goes, somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. God's love is so strong that we begin loving our enemies, and it becomes a lot easier to love those that I don't agree with and that I do not like. Now, I've got some examples. I'm reading a horrible book right now. I'll just go ahead and tell you I hate it. 90% of it goes against everything I believe, from page 2 to page 400, and I'm only on page 20, but I've skimmed through the whole book. I'm struggling. I am struggling. Doesn't edify me. It doesn't lift me up. I read 2 pages, I get mad, and I go steam for about 4 hours outside walking around and around the backyard. But I'll tell you why I read it. Because I love the lady who gave it to me. And I don't know her. I don't know this woman. She knows my kids. I know she makes some great toffee. The best dang toffee I've ever ate in my life. She made some for them for Christmas. I ate it all. And so I was at the shop the other day where my daughter works. My daughter's work and my wife works, and I was there. And this lady came in. I listened to her talk a little bit. I said, whoa, I know you. You made the toffee. She said, I did. I said, make me some more. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. But we got to talking a little bit. Wonderful heart. A wonderful person. Sweet and kind. But she don't believe there's a God. So she had this book and she pulled it out. And she said, hey, read this and then pass it along. She gave it to Amber, and Amber kind of looked through that book, and she said, you want to read that book? And I said, yeah, I'll read it. Give it to me. And boy, it is a journey. But I'm going to read every last word of it. I will find something in there that I can agree with. And then I will share the love of Jesus with that lady. Got to be. I went to the rodeo with my boys. Do you see them on the front page? Thanks for calling me. I went and bought 15 papers. Do you know you can't buy 15 papers at a local store? You have to go to the newspaper place down there and go inside and buy them. I got all 15 of them, putting them in my safe. They're going to be worth something one day. But we took all our grandboys to the rodeo, all the kids. It was so much fun. And we're sitting there. And I don't know if you've ever been to a rodeo before, but it's very patriotic. You know, God-fearing, God-loving people going to party all night long Saturday, but they're going to go to church and repent on Sunday morning. I know. Been there. Still like to go. We're sitting there. God comes out. They say, they pray. Guy behind me, he doesn't like the prayer. So he, he's upset about the praying. He's drinking a big old 32-ounce beer. It looked like it was sitting right on my right shoulder. I'm thinking, this guy's going to pour that on me. And then they start singing the national anthem, and man, he really didn't like that. Cussing and carrying on, and I'm thinking in my mind, God, this man is in the wrong place to be acting like this. I'm not sure why he's here. And then they had the disabled veterans over there, and they were going to honor them. And they honored those men and women who have suffered greatly for this country. And old Jabberjaws, boy, that was the last straw for me. And Grayson, my son, he was there. If you go to a 10, he was at about a 20. And I knew I needed to do something. And I heard the girl back there with him talking. And I said, I would like to knock the smile off of that boy. I said, God, if I can, I mean, he don't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. I can just reach up here. I get him just like this, and I can bring him over my right shoulder. And I flip him right off of that aisle down there. They can take his old tail out from here around me. That's what I was thinking. And God says, Steve, this is hard. He said, I love him too. I said, Dad, blame it. Why? Why you love that sucker? Well, I made him. He's just a little messed up. No, he's a whole lot messed up. If he don't be quiet, this group of people I'm sitting around, he's going to be a whole lot worse messed up. I hope he's drank a lot because he's going to be hurting in the morning. And then I heard the girl with him, though, back there. I heard her talking. And something about that girl, I said, I know that voice. Oh, God, I know that voice. Who is that? Now, you know, Grayson, if you've been here any amount of time, you know that he was in an accident. He's got a TBI, and his memory is, short-term memory is spotty at best, right? But, son, his long-term memory is like a vault. I can ask him what we had for dinner in 99, and he'll tell me. And if I got it written down, it'll be right. So, to calm him down, I said, you hear that girl? He said, I do. I said, I know her. He said, I think I know her too. Well, she, after the horses ran around the barrel, she gets up to leave. She goes down the steps. But she doesn't look like the girl I'm thinking she is. And I said, who is that, Grayson? He calls her name out exactly like that. And I go, you are right. She came to my house for 2 years and learned how to ride horses. She took lessons from Lori when she was younger. She had dyed her hair, gotten a tan, but I knew that. I knew her voice. I knew how she sounded. And I knew in my heart immediately that my feelings were wrong towards that guy, even though he was wrong, bad wrong. So I've been praying for him, his little skinny self, every day. I've been praying for her. She used to come to my house, but she hadn't visited in years. And I don't mean 5 years. I'm talking 15, 16 years. So I haven't seen that girl in years. I haven't spoken to her in years, but I knew that voice. And it was good to hear her voice. It was good. If she showed up at my house now, she'd be welcome. There's a lot of people that have not been to God's house in years. Been running around with some skinny little drunks that's running that mouth. But God loves them. And God has not forgot their voice. He longs to hear their voice. If you're away from God, He wants you close. And He don't look at all the things we look at. He doesn't. He's so much better. I want to say this as I'm closing. So you can go ahead and stand up and we'll close it out. Love is worth the risk. I'm praying for a lot of my friends who want to get married. They're not married. So I'm praying for them that they'll find their spouse, their one and only. Looking and finding love is a great adventure. A businessman who doesn't take a risk will get no reward. And God's plan of redemption was risky. It was high risk, but it yielded high rewards. And I reap the reward of God's gift. You know, He had a lot of experience with mankind, and most of it was us rejecting Him, but He never gave up. So I want to say this to those of you who have been hurt and your heart has been hurt. When you put your heart out there and it gets broken, it is tough. I know it is. But let God heal your heart. Let Him restore you emotionally and mentally and physically, possibly financially, and most of all spiritually. And if you've hurt somebody, which we all have, just ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. Ask that person to forgive you. They may try. It may be hard. But just move through that forgiveness and learn from your mistake. Get up and move on. Because God wants to heal you as well. The truth is, the matter is, God loves them both. He loves both the hurt and those who hurt. So, happy Valentine's Day. God loves you with an unconditional love. He cares for you more than you ever will know. And it is a wonderful journey to live life with the love of God. You will do things you never thought you would do. You will go places you never thought you would go. And it is absolutely the most amazing life you will ever live. So if you don't know the love of God, all you have to do is believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Ask Him to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to forgive you of your sins. Let Him wash you and make you clean. And then tell somebody you did that. And the Word says you'll be saved. And I believe it's what I did. It's what I did. And then start to grow that relationship with Jesus. Let me pray for you before we leave. Father, we thank You for the love of God. We thank You, Lord, that You're not greedy with that love. And that, Lord, You give it liberally to each of us. So I'm asking You, Lord, today as we walk out of this place, that we'll walk in a fresh love and a fresh knowledge of who You are. And, Lord, may that love shine through us to everyone that's around us. And we bless You today, Lord. And we call You good. And we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and enjoy your week.